Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 23 this morning. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." May God add blessings to the reading of his word this morning. You know, as we look back over God's word in 1 Thessalonians, we can summarize it this way. God gave his people objectives to accomplish, things to do, expectations to fill. While we wait on the Lord's return, we are to examine those. We are to apply those. And we are to try our hardest to be obedient in fulfilling those. Well, what are they? Well, as we look back over the messages that have been preached, we can see that they are sexual purity, found in chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. Brotherly love, found in chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Personal independence, in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Understanding the rapture, in chapter 4, verses 13 through chapter 5, verses 11. Respect for leaders, love for all people, rejoicing, prayer, thankfulness, and sincerity in public worship. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. We see in our passage today that God is the giver of peace. Peace. Now we think of peace, and we want to naturally fall to the Middle East. We want to fall to the southern border of our nation where there's unrest. We want to think of circumstances like Ferguson, Missouri. And there's tension. There's violence. There's anger. There's hatred. We want to think of peace there. And there is peace that needs to be brought there as well. But when we read what the Word of God said, and we consider peace, it should be understood as a harmonious relationship between God and man through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that sounds good this morning. A harmonious relationship between you and God through Jesus Christ. Think about that for just a moment. Think about having that relationship with God so close and having it so tightly knit in your heart that you have the presence of God with you every waking moment of every day. And yes, that kind of peace is possible in your life. It's not something that a privileged few have access to. Every born-again child of God has that access. You have that access if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can. You can know Him as Lord and Savior, and you can have that relationship. You can have that knowledge of God being the giver of peace. Let's examine that a little while this morning. If God has to be and is the giver of peace, then that sounds good. And that's encouraging for us to know, but it also means that there's disharmony. If God is the giver of peace and peace has to be wrought and brought about through Jesus Christ, then there's disharmony.
if it has to be brought and given, then there's something out of place in lives. And that's where we all find ourselves. We all find ourselves out of place and in disobedience to God. That's why we need salvation. Think about that. If you weren't out of God's will, if you weren't in disharmony with God, you wouldn't need salvation. You would already have it. When we were given salvation, when we accepted Jesus Christ and we received Him and we received that salvation, we received the ability to have harmony with God. Now, as a child of God, we can get out of sync with Him as well. We can move out of His will. We can move out of His way, out of His work. We can become disobedient. That's where the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives takes precedence. Where is all of this going? The peace that God wants to bring is for a purpose. That peace is to sanctify us, to set us apart. That word sanctify means set apart. Now, there are a lot of people today are self-sanctified. Huh? They really are. Well, now, I attend church every time doors are open. I do this. I do that. I have this. I support that. We have the tendency in our lives to promote I. We all have that tendency to promote I. That's self-sanctification. We are taking what we do and we're putting it on a pedestal to make ourselves look good in front of God and in front of others. We can't make ourselves look good enough to God for Him to accept us. We're saved, we're born again, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are sanctified or set apart to eternal life through salvation. That's guaranteed. There's no bargaining or bartering that away. There's no losing that. That part of being set apart is done. But there is more to sanctification than that. Now, we also in the church have gotten ourselves fine-tuned to the point of saying, well, sanctification is a lifetime process. And because it's a lifetime process, the shortcomings I have today, well, God just kind of understands them. We want to explain away our shortcomings by sanctification. Now, there's truth to that. Sanctification is a lifetime process. We are always being set apart. And that idea of being set apart means that there are some responsibilities involved. It means that there are some obligations that we have toward God to fulfill if we're going to do our part. And yes, we have a part. You have a part in your sanctification. In the work that God is doing in your life, you have a part. I have a part. Sanctification is God's maturing process of developing the new life you have through Jesus Christ. When you were born, you came into this world, you had parents. Those parents had a responsibility of raising you, of developing a maturity in your life. And that development took place throughout the growing and the formative years of your life. And in all honesty, it does not matter how old we get. We still have the influence of our parents and what they've done in raising us and how they influenced our lives. It stays with us throughout our entire life. The very same thing happens to your spiritual life when you're born again with Jesus Christ. God starts a maturing process. He starts molding and shaping your spiritual walk and your spiritual life. He starts molding you into what He wants you to be. And just like when we were children, when we rebelled, most of us got punished because we rebelled. We got a whooping. We got grounded. There was some type of discipline, some type of punishment involved for being disobedient, for being rebellious. The same thing happens with God. When God is shaping us and working in our lives and sanctifying us to set us apart for His work, when we are given that direction in our heart and in our life and we rebel, there's punishment. It's called chastisement. We all have to deal with that. That's how God gets our attention. He kind of has to get us and shake us a little bit. He has to get a hold of us and get our attention back on Him. Well, this morning, I want you to know how we are set apart. And we are set apart, first of all, when we are totally submitted to God. Look with me in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's totally. That's completely. We have to be completely set apart. And in order for us to be completely set apart, we have to be totally submitted to God. God cannot sanctify you if you are refusing to submit to Him. Now, you can't sit there this morning and say with an honest heart and with a true heart that you can be obedient and not be submissive. You cannot be obedient to God's work and God's will in your life if you're not going to be submissive to God. If you're not going to look at God and you're not going to say to Him, I am willing to do what you want me to do. That's a problem that many Christians have today. They want to be listed as being among God's children. They want to be listed as being born again children of God. They want to be able to raise their hand when someone says, are you saved? But they don't want to be submissive to God. They want God to be giving everything and not asking anything in return. God don't ask me to attend church every time the door's open. God don't ask me to be involved in ministry. God don't ask me to support missions. God don't ask me to get involved. God, I want you, but I don't want you to want me. That's where the direction and the attitude of many in the church have gone today. We cannot be sanctified, set apart for God's work if we're not going to be submissive to doing it. If we're not going to submit ourselves to God's will, God's work, and doing it God's way, then we cannot be set apart. God doesn't want that. He wants to set us apart. He wants us to be holy, complete, totally dedicated, and set up for His service. But in order to do that, it comes down to being committed to Him. Not committed to the Southern Baptist Convention. Not committed to the North Carolina State Baptist Convention. Not committed to anything other than Jesus Christ this morning. We have to be sold out to Jesus. And we have to be dedicated to doing that. We have to be dedicated to following His work and His word and His will. If we want to be obedient to God this morning, then it's time we understand and we get it right in our heart that we need to be submissive to Him. When it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. When it's close to our heart and when it's not. When it's comfortable and when it's uncomfortable. And folks, it's getting ready to get real uncomfortable in the church. It's getting ready to get real uncomfortable. I don't know if some of you have noticed it or if you paid attention to the news this week. I'll kind of throw this out there. This wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to throw it out there. You get it for free this morning. The mayor of Houston, Houston, Texas, is a lesbian. Okay. She's a lesbian. She posted this week that she was going to subpoena the message transcripts of the pastors in the Houston area to look at them and review them for preaching against homosexuals. She made a press conference to that. I watched it on the internet where it was recorded and posted. You talk about blowback. So, well, we don't live in Houston. No, but let me tell you something. If you have a politician anywhere in the world that wants to petition the sermon of one pastor, you have the attention of every pastor in the world. Matter of fact, there was a posting came up yesterday, and I'm going to have to go back and find it. But the mailing address for the mayor of Houston, her personal home address, was posted, along with the statement that said, and it asked for every pastor in the United States to mail her a copy of the sermon that we preach on Sunday. And I'm going to do that. And I hope the Postal Service has to send a dump truck to her house. If she wants them, she can have them. There they are. Read them if you want. Matter of fact, this one will be posted online this afternoon. If she wants to hear it, she's welcome to listen. I've got nothing to be ashamed of. But folks, the point is, when we're talking about being submitted to God, if we're saved and if we are children of God, it's going to be uncomfortable to be a child of God. You can't expect it to be a cakewalk. And there's going to be a time coming when you're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to do what's right in the eyes of God and in the Word of God, or you're not. You're going to be submissive or you're not. You're going to stand up for God or you're not. That's coming. It's coming to the church. It's coming to this little county in North Carolina. I can't tell you when, but it's coming. Just as I told you 2 years ago, started preaching to you that the winds were blowing and the whole thing of the homosexual agenda in North Carolina. Amendment 1 didn't end anything, but it started everything. I told you then, trouble was coming. I didn't know when, but I knew it was coming. Well, we're dealing with some more of it now. And more of it is coming. Not just with the fact of marriage and not marriage, but the fact of it coming already into the church with the threat of telling pastors, you will not preach this, you will preach that, you will marry this, you will not marry that, you will behave this way or that way. I saw last night a pastor in Utah run a marriage, a little chapel, a little marriage chapel, like the ones they have over in Tennessee and down in South Carolina. He received a letter from the Utah state government that said, now that the federal appeals court has overturned all of these decisions, you are required to marry homosexuals. Your religious stand, your faith has no bearing on it. Just this week in Rockingham, North Carolina, a magistrate resigned. I read his letter of resignation. He sent it to a judge, which was rightfully so, he should. Given the overturning of Amendment 1 and the requirement that I now conduct wedding ceremonies for homosexuals is something I cannot do. I cannot do it in good faith because it violates my faith. So as a result of it violating my faith and having to make a decision between my job and my faith, you can have my job. Submission. Submission is not easy. Submission costs something. Just recently, journalists have been beheaded in ISIS. Just because they were Westerners. Just because they were Christian. Just because they would not convert. They were submitted to God. It cost them their life. The church is going to have to realize things are getting real. This is not some reality TV show where it's a script that's made up from one Sunday to the next. This is spiritual warfare. And to be set apart for God and to be set apart as a child of God, there's reality involved. And as we get closer to the rapture of the church and the introduction of the tribulation period, it is going to get more and more offensive in the lives of a Christian. We will be asked, and sooner or later you will be asked, maybe directly, maybe indirectly, but nonetheless, you will be asked, where do you stand? Are you going to be submissive to the Word of God? Are you going to be set apart as a child of God? Or not? That will be where you have to stand. Also, we know we're set apart when our character is seasoned. Seasoned with godly quality. The quality of your character is directly related to how strictly you follow God's Word. Does God's Word instruct your life? Now, everything from this point on is going to come back to submission. It's going to support submission. Does the Word of God instruct your life? When you need to know how to handle something in life, do you go to the Word of God? And do you go there first? Do you go there first? Or do you go to the financial portfolio? Do you go to the checkbook? Do you go to the political party stand? Where do you go to get instruction for life? Or does your life try to instruct God's Word? Do you try to read into God's Word what you want it to say? Or do you try to read from God's Word what it wants to say to your life and the way you handle things? That's quality. And quality is seasoned by the Word of God and by rightly dividing the Word of God to play into our lives and to work in our lives and to speak to our lives and to direct our lives. You say, well, that's not going to get people saved. Yes, it will. Because the only other option folks have is to let hell run their life. There's only two choices. Either you're going to let the Word of God and the peace of God run your life and instruct your life, or you're going to let the devil and hell do it. There are no other options. What's the quality of our life? What measures the quality of our life? Is it what we have? Is it what we have accomplished? Or is it the Word of God and how it is propagated through our lives and shown to the world around us? We know we're set apart when our character is seasoned with godly quantity. Quantity. The quantity or the collection of your character is understood in three parts in verse 23. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. The three parts of a person. That's who you are as a person. God has just laid that out for you. The sanctification of the spirit. The Greek word there is pneuma. Breath. And it enables a man to receive knowledge and guidance of the divine. The character and the quality and the quantity of your spirit is understood by how you are tuned in to what God has to say. How tuned in are you to what God is really saying? Is it just one of those passing moments? When church is over on Sunday morning, yeah, that was okay, and now it's on to the ball game. Now it's on to the car race. Now it's on to dinner. Now it's on to whatever. When you walk out of here, out of this sanctuary this morning, when you leave Calvary Baptist Church, are you going to leave with a heart and a spirit that is so tuned in to God that the divine Himself can speak to you? Can speak to you through His Word, can speak to you through His Spirit, can speak to you through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the quantity, part of the quantity of our character. How about the sanctification of the soul? The soul and the spirit are not the same. Oftentimes we think they are, and maybe in general we speak about them being the same, but they're not. The soul comes from the Greek word, the psyche. Where we get our word psychologist and psychiatrist. It is the sphere of a man's will and emotion. What drives our emotion? What controls our will in our lives? I hear people all the time, I couldn't help myself. I let my emotions run away with me. I gave in to a will that wasn't mine. I hear that at work every day from prison inmates. Prison inmates that are there have been there for 25 and 30 years and have another 25 or 30 years ahead of them because they let their emotions get away from them. Good. I'm talking about morally sound people. Yes, in prison, morally sound people, they let their emotions get a hold of them one time and it's cost them for their entire life. Their will. When you set your mind to something and you set your will to something, is it driven by God? Is it enforced by the Word of God? What drives it? What forces it? What moves your will and your determination in life? The emotions that are put behind it, Are they godly? Do they lift up Jesus Christ? Can God use them to set you apart as His child? That's the seasoning of the amount of character, the quantity, the collection of character that we have in our life. Are we being submissive to God and letting Him control our will? Are we letting Him in control of our emotions? We all stumble and fall in these areas. No one is perfect in these. Don't set that aside and say, well, I'm just not that perfect. I can't do that. All you're doing is cheating yourself when you take that attitude. All you're doing is cheating yourself. Because God's not expecting you to be sinless. You can't do that. God knows that. God is expecting you to be obedient so that He can set you apart and He can work in your life these things. Next is the body, the sanctification of the body. That's your personal relationship to the physical world. Do you see the connection? If your soul or psyche and your spirit or pneuma is not in line with God, guess what? Your body's not going to be in line with God either. Your feet are going to follow where your mind directs them. Your mind is going to be directed where your heart points it. If your heart is not controlled, and if your heart is not directed by Jesus Christ this morning, then it's going to be walking down an ungodly path, and your heart is going to lead your mind, and your mind and the will of your mind is going to control your emotions, and your emotions are going to control your feet. That is the collection of our character. We all have to deal with that daily. When God wants to set us apart, God wants to be in control. God is asking each one of us to be submissive to Him so that He's in control. Well, we know we're set apart in verse 24 when we realize and grasp the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. Faithful is one of those words that Christians like to read into a definition. Well, God is going to grant me my desires. God's faithful. God can grant me my desires. The Lord can answer my prayers. Jesus is not some genie in a bottle. We don't chant a little prayer and rub our Bibles and Jesus shows up and starts granting wishes. When we see the Word of God is saying God is faithful, it says and it means specifically God has never failed to be truthful. If God says it's sin, it is sin. I don't care if it is stealing, which is taking anything that doesn't belong to you. I do not care if it is lying, which is saying anything that is not true, even a half-truth. I don't care if it's adultery. I don't care if it's homosexuality. I don't care what it is. If God says it is sin. Period. He's truthful. If God says it isn't, it isn't. If God says, you're righteous, you're righteous. If He says you're unrighteous, you're unrighteous. That applies to all of us, present company included. He's truthful. He's truthful in our salvation. He's truthful in our blessings. He's truthful in our convictions. He is truthful in our correction. He's truthful in our calling. He's truthful in our commission. He's truthful in everything that goes on in our life. Totally truthful. So since we have to come face to face this morning with the truthfulness or the faithfulness of God, are we going to look at our submission? Are we going to look at our submission? Well, we know that we're set apart when we realize and grasp the fullness of God. Finally, in verse 24, he that calleth you, who also will do it. There's no void in our lives when it comes to God. There is no area in our life that God is not aware of. There's no area in our life where God is not capable of touching. There's no area in our life that God is not able to move us, to adjust us, to correct us in. The fullness of God covers every area of our life. Not just our life, it covers every area of our families, every area of our work, every area of Calvary Baptist Church, every area of the Blue Ridge Baptist Association, every area of Christianity and life in general. The obedient, the disobedient, the submissive, the unsubmissive, the rebellious, the righteous, the unrighteous, the godliness, the ungodliness. The fullness of God has no void in any of it. He is aware of all of it. When we're talking about being set apart from God, we are set apart for God, for His work, for His will, to be His witnesses in this world that we live in. We have to understand the fullness of God in our life. That God establishes every part of the Christian's life. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about Joseph. And we talked about the life that Joseph had lived and everything that was in front of him throughout that life. God established that. He permitted it. God permitted everything that went on in Job's life. God permitted everything that went on in Moses' life. God permitted everything that went on in Daniel's life, in David's life, in the Apostle Paul's life. God permits everything that goes on in your life and in my life. Why? To set us apart. To sanctify us. To sanctify us. So that the world, those that are lost and undone with Jesus Christ and needing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning, so they can see it. So that they can see how God works. And if we're not submissive as the children of God, we cannot be His example, His testimony. We can't be His witness to the world around us. Well, in closing this morning, it's true, very true, to say we're set apart as God's children the moment that we're saved. If you're not saved this morning, understand this, you're not one of God's children. You are one of His creation, but you're not yet one of His children if you're not saved. Jesus died for you this morning. Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants you to come to Him as Lord and Savior. He wants you to be one of His children today. Jesus wants you to ask for and receive salvation. Christian, understand this morning. Being set apart as a child of God is the beginning of sanctification. It's the beginning of God's work in your life. It's the beginning of a new life. It's being set apart to be His witness. What God has given you today is a very sincere look at what He expects from His children. What He expects is He works out sanctification in your life. We don't have the privilege of picking and choosing. We're being asked to live in obedience. Total obedience. And we're either going to decide that or not. We will decide to be obedient to God or we will decide to be disobedient to God. We will make those decisions individually. And we will make them minute by minute and moment by moment throughout the course of our day and throughout our life. Well, I'd like to ask our musicians to come and prepare a hymn of invitation this morning. And as they come, I want you to consider these questions. Are you allowing God to work out His sanctification in your life? Or are you personally allowing that? Are you totally submitted to God? Totally submitted to Him? Does God see you having the quality character in your life? Does God instruct your footsteps? Does God, through His Word and His will, lead and guide and direct you? Or are you taking your life and trying to read into the Word of God and justify your life? Does God see you as having the amount of character that He desires? Does God have influence in your spirit, your soul, and your body? Does He have total control? Do you truly realize the faithfulness of God in your life? That He's not there just to grant a wish? He's there to lead and guide in truth. Total truth. And do you realize the fullness of God and His desire to work through your life? His desire to use you as His witness and to have you as His witness. That's sanctification. That is being sanctified and set apart. Yes, it is a daily work in our lives. It is a moment by moment work in our lives today. And we have to be submissive to it. We have to be obedient to it. We have to be humble to it. Now, as I ask those questions this morning, the Holy Spirit has given you the answers. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them this morning? That's the question that I ask. How will you deal with sanctification today?